Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can be gathered in this way as your children to worship you, that we can join our hearts with your people in all parts of the world this day to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you for all that you have done for us and provided for us, especially what took place at the cross and the resurrection of Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the record in the scriptures, that we may deepen in our knowledge of you, of the truth, and know how we can exercise faith grounded in the truth. We pray that you be pleased to be in our midst, that you have the freedom to speak to us and help us, that we may know how to live a truly overcoming life, bearing fruit in every good work, bringing joy to your heart every moment of our lives. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 204th message, the subtopic for today, experiencing the reality of the posture. Experiencing the reality of the posture. Today I wish to highlight some important points in relation to experiencing the reality of the posture of God in truth. If we go through the scriptures carefully, we will realize that God's intention for us as his children, for each one of us, is a life full of richness and meaning and deep, close fellowship in our walk with him. But is this true of God's children generally? If we do relate, if we do observe what's going on, we know that often God's children live in spiritual poverty. And many who long for a deeper walk with God are also not very clear how to go about it. It's important for us to be clear. God's intentions for us, how we can enter into the kind of life he desires of us, for us, and also that it becomes a reality. This is what really matters during our time on earth. I want to begin with two key passages in the scriptures that we've been referring to during these messages on the posture of God in truth, that describes to us the kind of life that God intends for us. And then we want to go on to consider how we can ensure that we enter into such a reality. The first passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. I do not intend to spend much time on this very important verse, but just draw attention to a few key aspects. Basically, this verse tells us, describes to us a triumphant, overcoming life in Christ, together with knowledge of the Lord, and also a life transformed. Paul tells us, we can be thankful to the Lord, grateful to God. For what? That there's this reality, that he always leads us in triumph in Christ. So it is not just sometimes, but we can continually in all situations live a triumphant life. And this triumphant life is in Christ. And together with that, he says, manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. That means transformation takes place. That's why there can be the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place through our lives. Others can encounter the reality and the fragrance of Christ. So that is God's intention for us. And this goes together with the knowledge of him. And this knowledge is not head knowledge. It's grounded in a genuine knowledge of the Lord, that is, has to do with relationship. Knowing whom he truly is and relating with Him according to who He is and the implications for our lives. And that's meant to be the way we ought, as God's children, to live our lives all the time. And it is a triumphant life. And these two key verses we've referred to many times, the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. These two verses tells us, not only it is feasible for us to abide in Christ and He in us, but that we ought to live in this way, and vital, critical that we live in this way. If we don't, then it's just like the branch, no longer abiding in the vine. It will not be able to bear fruit. And in fact, if you go further down, it says, you'll be thrown away, you'll be burned. But when we abide in Christ and He in us, we will bear much fruit. This tells us in all situations, at all times, we should be bearing good fruit, the fruit that endures to eternity. We are meant to abide in Christ and He in us. We already joined to Him spiritually, but there are implications that God intends for us. Because of this reality, when we become God's children, we are joined to the risen Christ, baptized into His death, joined to Him, united with Him in His death and resurrection. We are to abide in Him and He in us. And the implications of that, when we abide in Him, He in us, would mean a deep fellowship with Him at all times, oneness with Him, guided, empowered by the Lord, no longer according to our own thinking, our own strength, but Christ lives in us. He abides in us, and all that we can find in Him. And the Lord will then be working in and then through our lives. And this is what life is all about during our time on earth. First, we need to experience the reality of the risen Christ and Him working in us and then through us. Yes, it's true, God can also work through people without first working in them, just as, for example, Balaam. But that is not meaningful, and that will not be a consistent bearing of good fruit at all. And that is not God's intention nor desire. That He can even work through Balaam's ass. He can also speak through Balaam's ass. But God's intention is to work in us and then through us, and even as He works through us, as we serve Him. It is not just Him using us as a mere channel and instrument. Sometimes you hear these words, be careful not to take it in the wrong sense. There are those who may not be so conscious, appreciative of how God really wants to work in us and through us, and so they think of God working in us as that we are using us as instruments, as just channels, just merely God. We are just channels, we are just instruments. No. The biblical presentation is very clear. What God intends is that there's an active cooperation with God and a transformation taking place, and we are working together with God. So that's how it is to be. And we see this reflected in the life of the Apostle Paul. We've looked at this in detail, the testimony of Paul. For to me to live is Christ. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the meaning behind these words of the Apostle Paul, from all that I can understand, is exactly what the Lord Jesus is trying to say, abide in me and I in you. So Paul lived in that way. I've been crucified with Christ. It's identification with Christ. When he became a Christian, he's joined to risen Christ. What took place at the cross spiritually becomes his. And there are important implications. Just as he also wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Our old man crucified with him. So it's something that took place at the cross. So when we are joined to the risen Christ, we can experience Christ working mightily in our lives and through our lives. But then we need to enter into the reality of it is no longer I who live, and then Christ lives in me follows. That is, we no longer live according to our own thinking, our own strength, according to our own desires. Not, no longer the way we used to live. But now, Christ lives in me. We actively choose to look to the Lord that He has the freedom not only to speak to us, to guide us, but to do a deep work in our hearts, and then to manifest His life and power through our lives as we actively choose to cooperate with Him day by day, moment by moment. So there will be the deep fellowship with the Lord, the oneness with Him, guided, empowered by the risen Lord, and then His walking in and through our lives. And I said this is exemplified in the life of the Apostle Paul. He experienced, he lived that out to a very high degree, and he has written much to help us to gain spiritual insight into the kind of life that God desires of us, how we also should live. Now this life that I just described, you pause and consider, then you realize that all Christians would say that it is indeed wonderful if we can continually experience such spiritual life and vitality in the actual outworking of our faith. But as I said, many Christians do not experience this reality. Many are struggling, living in spiritual poverty. But it is God's intention that we live out such a life, abiding in Christ and He in us, bearing much fruit continually, not sporadically, not just once in a long while. And God always leading us in triumph in Christ and manifesting to us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Is that feasible? Can we live like that? The answer is a clear yes. That is the clear teaching of the Scriptures. In fact, I'll put it this way. This is the good news. We are all very familiar with the gospel. The gospel is the good news. And many Christians may not realize that the good news is not just merely Christ died for us, we can be converted, and then we receive forgiveness of sins. This is part of the good news. The good news doesn't stop at conversion. The good news is all that God intends for us in Christ, is this kind of life. God's intention is not merely that we are forgiven of our sins, we become His children, and then continue in living in darkness and sin, bondage to the evil one, and bondage to the weakness of the flesh, and bondage to sin. No. It is feasible to experience the spiritual reality of these two passages we're looking at, and consistently throughout the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, we see there's a kind of life that God intends for us. Why do I spend so much time going into this subject of the posture of God and truth? It is because of my understanding that if we really understand the posture of God and truth, align our hearts with it, that is the way in which we can live our lives with deep conviction and confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Lord, and to enter into this life that God intends for us. It is not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in God and the truth that God has revealed. And when we align our hearts with the posture, but of course we need to understand what is the posture, and then truly align our heart with it. And we do that, then whatever situation we go through, we can experience these realities. This is God's will for each one of us. So now I want to highlight some important points to ensure how can we ensure that this kind of spiritual life and vitality can be our constant experience. Is it feasible? Yes. So I want to highlight some important points, and the first two are critical. So in a way, actually, I am summarizing some major features, aspects that are important for us to take note of if we want to really benefit from the central thrust of all these messages I've been preaching on God and truth, or on the posture of God and truth. And in my own records, when I went into the first message on the posture of God and truth, is P141, and by now 64 messages, and in fact a few preceding messages already was the beginning of God and truth being the foundational basis for our lives. But I've spent time to go into all this is because we may refer to passages of scriptures, we can talk about this area, that area, prayer life and so on, but how do we appreciate in a comprehensive way the total approach to life? Because the posture of God and truth is a total approach to life that if we can properly appreciate and experience the reality of the posture, then we are ready to face every situation triumphantly. I say feasible. It does mean you will always be, but feasible. And that is very important, because there are many Christians in various situations they will find not feasible to work out well. They feel helpless. And all the weeping and crying out to God doesn't open the way. And this is real. And this includes Christians who have been walking with God many years, serving God in foreign lands. Is there a way in which we can understand how we can enter into this reality, maintain it, continually deepen it, and no matter what the situation, to see that it is feasible to live out such a triumphant life? So I mentioned the first two points are critical, and I'll consider them together. The first point is spiritual insight. Understanding with spiritual insight into the meaning and implications of the posture of God in truth. I preached many messages, but have we really gained spiritual insight? And then the second point, having gained the spiritual insight, which is critical, without that you cannot have the second. Having gained the spiritual insight and understanding of the meaning of the posture and the implications, you then align your heart with the posture. So these two aspects are critical. And my concern is many may be hearing all these messages, but do not satisfy these two points. So you may hear all the messages on the posture of God and truth, and you can even find them meaningful. Not only that, as you hear, you can agree and affirm the content of all these messages. And I do receive feedback along the way. Various ones have expressed, they are in agreement. They find it meaningful. But I still have this concern within my heart whether these first two points are satisfied. And that's where I want to say that you may find them meaningful, you may agree with what has been communicated, and yet the meaning and the implications of the posture that I've been talking about, they will have no significant value and benefit to you. Yes, separate aspects here and there you may benefit, but I'm talking now about the whole posture. To appreciate the spiritual insight into the essence of the posture is very important. Have you caught it? If there is no spiritual insight into the meaning and implications of the posture, then the central thrust of what I'm trying to communicate, you will not have properly benefited from it. And what I mentioned about having a healthy sense of confidence to be able to face all kinds of situations and trials will not be true. You may not be able to go through. But various aspects of truth, yes, you can still benefit. But now I want to emphasize, as we come I think we are nearing the end of this mini series, and not that mini. In fact, I at one time thought I may preach one whole series on the posture of God in truth, because it's so central. That I want to highlight this aspect. Because if you do not get this central thrust and the reality, then a very major aspect of what I hope to communicate to you, you wouldn't have benefited from it in any real measure. But even if you gain a reasonable degree of spiritual insight and understanding of the meaning and implications of the posture, it is still not adequate. Because if you understand, you have that spiritual insight, you agree, you affirm strongly that you agree with it, but you do not align your heart with it. Is that possible? Yes. If you do not align your heart with it, then again, this life of spiritual meaning and vitality will elude you. If you really have the spiritual insight, align your heart, the spiritual life and vitality will be there. Not maybe, hopefully, it will be there. It has to be. Because what God has revealed in the scriptures, and when you align your heart with God and the truth that He has revealed, and the central truth that has been communicated, the confidence we have is not because I say it, but because of what God has revealed, God's assurances, the promises of God in the scriptures. And we know we can trust God. So these first two points are critical. Spiritual insight, and then you need to align your heart with the truth that you have come to see. We need to look to the Lord, pray to Him, and be clear about it. And we know that we haven't really seen, then we need to prayerfully go through the messages and ask the Lord to grant us spiritual insight. And after that, together with it, to ask the Lord to help us to know how to align our heart with the meaning and the implications of the posture. And I said, especially the essence of the posture. And actually, I've laid it out over the messages, how to enter into both of these aspects, the first two points. So it is feasible, but from all that I can understand, it doesn't take place very easily. It doesn't mean if you listen and I said you can find you are in agreement, then it will just take place. But it can. And it is God's intention for all of us, all His children. And when you spiritually you see it, you align your heart with it, then it would mean God and truth has indeed become the foundational basis of your life and the primary motivation of your heart. You'll become real. Now you need to understand what this means. It must become real. So when you truly have spiritual insight, the posture, align your heart, it will be like that. And you will be living like that. That is at the very heart of the posture. All other things are secondary, and all other things in life will take its place, flow forth from this, that God and the truth that God has revealed, primarily in the scriptures, but also every day, that God will guide us, speak to us. There's still God revealing truth to us. That will become the foundational basis of our lives, and also the primary motivation. What motivates you? Not just you're motivated by many things, but God and the truth also motivates you. No, this must be foundational basis. It must be the primary motivation of your heart. So throughout your life, you're setting your heart to know the Lord, to know the truth, absorb it, live it out. That's why the hunger and thirst after God and after and the truth He has revealed. There are many implications that will flow forth from it. You will not be paying lip service. When you read the scriptures, it's no longer as you read, you agree, agree, agree. And you're very careful to also correctly interpret, understand the scriptures, because you want to know the truth. And you know when you interpret wrongly, that will not be the truth. That will not be what God is trying to communicate, and it will not work. So as I said, there are many implications They are far reaching, very important. And if that's our approach, then you can be assured God will bring to pass all that He has promised us in the scriptures. Because this is what God wants to bring about. That's why I say the confidence is not that, oh, if I work hard, I'm diligent, this will be it. No. Our confidence is in God and what He seeks to bring about. So when we align our heart with the Lord and the truth that He has revealed, then our confidence is that God Himself will bring it about. If our confidence is in our own effort, it will result in failure. That is of the flesh. But for Christians, often it's a mixture. They try very hard. They also look to God to help them. But we must come to the point whereby we understand there is the human part, yes. But the human part must not be anything that is of what the scriptures term as the flesh. We must learn how to do away with the flesh as thoroughly as we can. And when you properly understand the meaning of the posture and what it means to align your heart with the posture of God and truth, it deals a decisive blow to the flesh at its very core center. Because your starting point is not yourself. Your starting point is God. Who He is, seeking to know Him, your relationship with Him, seeking to know the truth He has revealed, and then from there you work out your life. Again, not on your own. So nothing of the flesh. So if you understand how to approach it, you look to the Lord for spiritual insight, anyway, then more and more you'll find that God will bring it about. So then more and more you'll find the flesh is dealt with. That is the most decisive, powerful way you can deal with the flesh. And we are very concerned about how to be prayerful, how to be conscious of God. When you learn to align your heart with the posture, all this will be the result. It will all take place at the same time. And God having this freedom to speak to us, to work in us, and so on, it will all flow. And yet we are not passive sleeping. We are actively seeking the Lord, seeking to know the truth, absorb, and working out together with God. As Paul says, working together with Him and not to receive His grace in vain. So we are not passive, idle, but we actively, as Paul says, he strives according to the power of God, which mightily works within him. But his striving is not fleshly. It's according to God's guidance and enabling and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is not the flesh. So there are various of these major aspects. We need to understand how it works and then to actually live in that way. So when we live in this way, we understand the posture, there will be this unshakable conviction that as we live in this way, then God's approval, God's blessings will be upon our lives. Many Christians, they strive, they seek to live, and then they pray, hopefully God will bless them. No, we can be assured God's approval, God's blessings upon us when we live in this way. That is the conviction we can have. And no matter how we go through, our appearance, things may not seem to go on well, just make sure the posture is there. You have aligned your heart with posture, then you can live in this conviction. Then the evil one cannot easily shake you, because your life will be grounded in God and the truth that He has revealed. And this conviction includes, together with God's blessings, God's approval, the conviction that it is feasible to have continuing experience of divine love, joy, peace, security, meaning, success, fruitfulness, usefulness, contentment. And all this is not the world, it's of the Lord. And all the positive assurances in the scriptures, you have the conviction, it goes together with it. You see, God is not grudging us His blessings and joy and peace and security. No, He wants us to experience all these things. It's just that, are there things blocking our experiences of all these things that He wants to shower upon us? So when we understand the posture of God and truth, we remove all the hindrances, that God will then have the freedom to shower us with all these rich experiences in Him. And all these are meant to be our continuing experience at all times, whatever the situation you are going through. Even though we are living in this fallen world, with all the temptations around us, with many who live worldly lives, many adverse influences, all kinds of trials that we go through. So James can say, count it all joy when you go through various kinds of trials. And the various kinds of trials there, I've tried to look into it, is all kinds. James says you can count it all joy. Why? Because no matter what kind of situation, what kind of trials, you can go through it very meaningfully with the Lord. Including whatever the response and the conduct of other people and human beings can cause you the greatest pains. And many Christians can end up very frustrated and miserable because of the conduct of other people, including Christians. But we need not be. We need not become frustrated, miserable. And also in the midst of all the wiles and the attacks of the evil one. So as I mentioned, it is feasible. I'm not saying that you will all the time experience this, but it is feasible. And we need to understand why this be feasible. And when we are not experiencing the love, the joy, the peace of God, the contentment, the security, the fruitfulness, then we need to look into it and to know the way that this posture and this kind of life can be restored. And there is a way. And I've taken so many messages, is to go into various areas, aspects, including various issues that can confront us, which if we do not know how to apply the posture, then even though in sincerity we sort of understand, sort of live like that, we get shaken and we do not know how to go about it. Including quite early, I think, if I recall correctly, I've also shared about this, which is quite common. Yes, you've sort of live your life well, but then what about your concern, even anxiety about your loved ones or your children, and they are somewhere in school and so on, and you know the situation there very problematic. So you care for them, you feel anxious. You want to deal with the anxiety, you can't. You're not able to. So then you see, as if no way out. Is it so? No, there is a way out. And the way out is not just by not caring for your child. When you understand the truth, that God wants you to do your part, then entrust the situation to Him. And also, the child will also have to do his part. You cannot ensure other people's lives, but you can ensure your part. And that's what God wants us to know. And part of the understanding of the posture is to fulfill your part. And not to worry and be anxious over what is beyond you and what is not for you to shoulder. And so on. There are various other aspects. So it's not that you cannot have your joy and peace. It's just sometimes actually you're living properly, but you do not know how to resolve it. So when you understand the truth, so as I said, I've gone through various areas, including some areas which I think are more problematic, that confronts us, and at times we do not know how to resolve it. And sometimes we do not understand, and we compare with other people, and we look at how people are faring, how people are living, and we find you are not able to live like that. And so you feel miserable. You try that, but you still can't. But again, that's wrong. God wants you, each one of us. Each one of us is unique before Him. It's all that God requires of us, each one of us, fulfill our part. Do what is feasible for you in your context, according to the constitutional makeup and the gifts that God has given to you. So you just seek to do your part, and you know how to trust God, walk in with Him, then the joy and the peace and the fruitfulness, and how you can then fulfill the part that God desires of you in His kingdom, And that's what we should be concerned about. So that's where the, if we're not careful, how we compare with other people, or an unhealthy competitive spirit, all these things coming in, unhealthy comparison, all this becomes a problem. We have to concentrate, not only work with the Lord, how to fulfill our part. Yes, uphold one another, encourage one another, but not unhealthy comparison, not unhealthy competitive spirit. Well, I have to move on. So the messages that are preached are intended to help us, not only to gain spiritual insight, but also to align our heart, and then also how to continue to maintain and to deepen and to go through all situations well. And that is God's intention for us. It is feasible. Together with that, what I've already mentioned is helpful for us to recognize that there's infinite depth of insight and depth of quality of the posture. But if you already have a reasonable insight into the inner posture, reasonable degree of aligning your heart, you already can enter into joy, peace, and so on. But at the same time, to realize, no matter how much you have aligned your heart, there is more. It's infinite. The kind of identification with God and with the truth is as deep as the depth of God. So it's a continuing process of deepening. And that's something we can look forward to. And likewise, not just the insight, but the depth, the quality of the aligning of our heart. This is something that you need to prayerfully consider. It's not just, oh, now I've seen, I've already aligned my heart. How much have you seen? How deep is it? And you can, no matter how deep, you can continue to deepen. And these two aspects are the most critical, on the basis of which all other things can then grow in meaning. Because your spiritual insight into the truth and the meaning of posture is limited, your life will be limited. Likewise, the aligning. If you do not see how to align, but after seeing, you must align. And how deeply have you aligned your heart? So we need to continually look to the Lord to deepen our insight and also deepen the quality and the reality of the aligning of our heart with the posture. Then together with that, to realize that if all this is true, then it means the posture will be lived out. You must live out the posture accordingly. And you can check yourself with the messages preached. What are the implications? Do you live like that? So we are deceiving ourselves if we think we have aligned our heart with the posture, but actually the meaning, implication of the posture is not lived out. And yet we say, we think we have aligned our heart. We are deceiving ourselves. It is not real. But we can genuinely affirm as well as align our heart with the posture. And if we have done that, don't stop at that. It is still helpful from time to time to go through the various aspects that have been covered. And then ask ourselves, are they reflected in our lives? That will help us to check the reality of the posture, reality of it being lived out. And yes, there are many messages, but there's one message in particular, they can help you to reflect over many of the major aspects, and that is P141. The title of that message is, the title is The Posture of God and Truth. And if you've understood the following, the messages that follow, then it helps to crystallize some of the major issues involved. But as you reflect over your lives, as you listen, as you hear, as you check yourself the various aspects, then you realize that there are significant deficiencies. Then you need to take note that you must do something about it. You then need to seek the Lord to understand why is there these deficiencies. What are the steps that you need to take to remedy the situation? the degree that various aspects are not reflected in her life, to that degree it means the posture is deficient. So the critical issue in the end is not just whether you hear and whether you think you understand. The critical issue is in the end the richness of the inward reality. So some attitudes are meaningful, are positive. They hear, they receive. You ask them, they may not be able to tell you a lot. But the reality is there. Is there such a thing? Yes. But usually, if they pause, they consider, they should be able to tell you to quite some reasonable degree, although they may not be very articulate. If you know how to hear, you'll be able, it will be able to recognize these realities in the hearts of the people. So if we have truly aligned our heart with the posture, it will be reflected in our lives, which also means the biblical principles and truths will be reflected in our attitude, reflected in our values, our perspective, our conduct, the choices that we make, our consciousness of God, the presence of God, our fellowship with Him, and the reality of our going through all situations with Him, and our genuinely looking to Him to guide, to undertake, to enable, and the experience of God's empowering, His enabling. All these will be real. It will be reflected. And you'll find that all these aspects will be reflected in every aspect of our lives, because it's a total approach to life. It's not just in a certain area when I'm at a certain Christian meeting or in my career. It's every aspect of our lives. So I now go on. The next point, next few points will be relatively faster. But as I said, the first two, primary. The others is just a reminder to us of the implications of this reality. If this posture is real, the third point will be that it is a continuing posture, which I already mentioned just now, but it's to highlight it. It has to be continuing. Not just once upon a time, we align our heart and we think that's it. But if we find that it's not a continuing thing, then yes, possible at one point of time, but it has evaporated, faded off, and that is serious. It shouldn't be that way. Yes, it's important at a given point of time to work hard in seeking to understand, to gain insight, and then to adopt the posture at a given moment of time to seek to enter into it as deeply as possible. That is important. But after that, you then need to continually maintain, as well to seek to deepen it, and it's an ongoing process throughout our time on earth. It's very important. What we hear, what we understand of the posture, must not be just something filed away in our brain somewhere. And this can easily happen. Christians hear, and they're not ahead, but it's filed away. Or worse still, what you call 1 year in, 1 year out. Nothing retained. They come here, then just come out like that, and it's gone. At least if it's filed away somewhere, one day it may come alive. But it still doesn't help you while it's filed away. But of course, filed away can at times be even more dangerous than 1 year in, 1 year out. You know why? Because 1 year in, 1 year out, you know nothing is there. But you file away somewhere, you may think it is real when it's not. So that is actually even more serious. Why? Because when it's 1 year, so you don't have, then you realize, yeah, you know your life no good. And the Lord may speak to you, and you may wake up. And then you begin to seek. But if you file it and you think, oh, yeah, I already know, then you do not seek. And that can be even more dangerous. But yes, it has a certain degree of meaning, so you seek to understand. But quite a lot is filed away. It's not so real. That then filed away still has some value. But ultimately, as I said, it must become real. The spiritual insight and the aligning of our heart. So the fourth point to remind us is helpfulness of evaluating from time to time. Yes, align your heart, seek to deepen it. But evaluate from time to time. Evaluate. Are we living out our lives consistent with this posture? And in what way can we improve the posture? I said, it's meant to be like that, maintain and deepen. So evaluate from time to time. And the posture includes identifying with God, fellowship with Him, which means a prayerful spirit. All the time, we're maintaining a prayerful spirit. And if we have truly understood the essence of the posture, we align our heart, we are living it out, we are maintaining a prayerful spirit, which can be real. And we should be living like that. And if we live like that, does it mean that we will never veer off? We will never deviate? No, we can. But if we live in this way, and this is what all of us must seek to live like that, then when we do veer off, we will recognize that we have strayed from it. Why? Because when we maintain that kind of spirit and we are genuinely living it out, can we veer off? Yes. But when we veer off, you'll be jarring to our spirit. This is real. You'll be jarring to your spirit. And you will know that you veered off. Sometimes you're not very sure what is it. Then you seek the Lord. What way have I veered? Why? This is a reality in the spiritual realm. This is also related to the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit. Because God wants us to live in this way, in the truth, in fellowship with Him. So when we veer off, the Spirit of God will indicate to us. So we can recognize. The Spirit indicates to our spirit something is amiss. Sometimes, straight away we know what is the issue. But sometimes we do not know what exactly it is. A bit vague. But we know something is amiss. And then we must pray to the Lord to help us see more clearly than what needs to be taken. The Holy Spirit may also indicate to us there's something amiss. For example, in our attitude, the way we relate, the way we respond, something is wrong with the attitude. The Spirit of God will indicate to us. Our approach, how we go about, something is amiss. Or we have been careless, not so prayerful, not so depending on our own cleverness, past experiences and so on. The Spirit of God will indicate to us if we are really living like that. Or the Spirit of God may indicate to us there's a presence of some deficiencies, some negative features in our lives that God may want us to attend to it. Now this can occur in different senses. One, for example, can be generally your attitudes are good, so you're living properly, but at a certain moment you falter in the area. So for in general you're considerate, then more you're inconsiderate, so you falter. This is one kind of something going amiss, something deficient. But sometimes it can be that you are actually living reasonably, meaningfully, and you continue that way. You have not actually really deviated, but yet there's something amiss. Why? It's because when we are living reasonably, there are actually things in our lives that are still not fully dealt with. We are not conscious of. But it's still quite reasonable. When I say quite reasonable, it's talking about relative comparison with how we used to live, or if you want to compare with how many Christians live. But comparing with the standard that God wants us to live, with His absolute, conform to the image of Christ, then we are very far from that. There are many impurities, there are many aspects, the positive that we need to work at, and various impurities we are not conscious of, that as we go through life, God wants us to grow, to make progress, and so He will reveal to us. And sometimes if He reveals too much to us, we may be taken aback, and we may think that we have degenerated very seriously, which may not be. Actually, we are growing. But now more and more He's showing to us this. Recognize you need to go deeper, you need to deal with it. So this can include the negative, it can also include the positive. Yes, you've been praying, you've been reading the scriptures, but God may speak to us. It's not good enough. He wants us to go to a deeper level in how we pray, how we read the scriptures, how we go about. Yes, we may be concerned for people, we may be considerate, loving, but there's so much depth. If we want to move in the direction of conformity to the image of Christ, of the meaning of love, we are to love in the same way as He loves us. And so, the Lord will begin to show to us. So when the Spirit of God shows to us, we must be very thankful, glad, and quickly recognize it and do something about it. But this requires us to maintain a prayerful spirit. But if we are not prayerful, we are not vigilant, we are not sensitive to the Lord speaking to us, then we may miss it. And then we will not be able to respond well, respond properly. But even more serious than not being sensitive to what the Lord is speaking to us, areas not right and so on, is that the Lord speaks to us, there's certain recognition that the thoughts, the Lord directs our thoughts to certain things, but instead of recognizing the failure, we rationalize it away. The Lord is speaking to us and we recognize, yes, the thought about whether am I constrained, am I kind, am I loving towards this person, and actually there's something deficient there, but we rationalize it away. Oh, this person, after all that this person has done for me, how I've treated this person. Yes, you didn't treat the person very well, but this person deserves worse than that. Or the Lord may want us to go the extra mile. But we are not prepared, but we rationalize it away. There can be various deficiencies within our hearts. The Lord may try and indicate it, but we just rationalize it, explain it away. Now, all these are serious. Once we do that, our fellowship with God will become affected. Many things becomes more difficult to see clearly, sharply, because our fellowship with God will be affected. So our progress will be affected. So it's important to be sensitive to the Lord, prayerful, respond well to whatever the Lord wants to speak to us. So there can also be presence of negative features like fear, anxiety, spirit of discouragement, bitterness, various of these things. The Lord may allow us to experience these things, indicate to us that we need to do something about it, how to overcome these things. Or the absence or the diminishing of the positive, like what I mentioned just now, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We can sense, yes, not so good. We can deepen further. Or even what we already have is diminishing. Can that happen? Yes. And if we are walking well with the Lord, there can be a genuine witness of the Spirit and a meaningful sense of true well-being. And also the Lord witnessing to us, yes, we are growing, we are making progress. Not deception, but genuine. And at times the Spirit of God will also indicate to us, no, we are not going on so well. So then we look into it. So all this is meaningful in part of our walk with God and the aligning of our heart with the posture. And as I said, if we are prayerful, we evaluate along the way as we go along. So when we recognize something is amiss, we must put it right, reaffirm the posture, align our heart again with the posture. Bear in mind, whatever the deficiencies, whatever the difficulties, bear in mind, when we have truly aligned our heart with the posture, then it is feasible to deal with whatever is negative, and also to develop whatever is positive that God desires of us. Whatever God desires of us, it can be looked into, it can be dealt with. But some aspects may be difficult and may take time. And for different ones of us, there may be different areas we find more difficult. Do not be discouraged. If you are sincere, God will help you and you will make progress. I now want to go on to the next point, which is important. The fifth point, faith grounded in truth works. If your faith is grounded in the truth, you must have this conviction, it will work. Whether it appears to work or not, it will work. This is important to recognize and continually affirm. Do not entertain doubts that come from the evil one, especially during difficult times, when you have a proper basis for exercising faith. For example, I mentioned just now, if you have truly aligned your heart with the posture of God and truth, there can be peace, joy, we can overcome and so on. There is no need to experience misery, frustration, anxiety, worry. That doesn't mean they never come upon us, but it's feasible to get out of it. And don't let the evil one deceive you into thinking that I'm caught in this, I cannot get out of it. There's no such thing. With God, it's always possible, but that it requires your aligning of heart with the truth. So there are many who say, oh God, I just pray to God, God help me come out of it. But if you're not aligning your heart with the truth, there's no proper basis. So it's very important. The proper basis for exercising faith must be in accordance with the truth that God has revealed. So the scriptures, for example, in Ephesians chapter 6, I will say a little bit about this, because this is very important. As you go through life, you encounter and you will need to know how to overcome this part. Very critical. Otherwise, you end up in misery. So Paul talks about the shield of faith. This shield of faith, when it's grounded in the truth, it can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then to Ephesians chapter 6. There's verse 16. Taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So all that comes from the evil one, you can extinguish all of them. It's possible. So whether it be doubts, it be fears, it be worries, it be anxiety, it be whatever. Difficulties, hardships, temptations, we need not succumb. But, bearing in mind here, it says taking up the shield of faith. In the book, Men of Faith, I emphasize very important, faith must be grounded in the truth. And here, notice, when Paul talks about faith, he notice this comes after verse 14. You see, after he says, take up the full armor of God, verse 13, resist, stand firm, verse 13, then he says, stand firm, therefore, and what did he begin with? Having girded your loins with truth. Critical. Then the rest can follow. You must know the truth, and also truth in the innermost being. You receive, you align your heart with the truth. So then you can properly exercise faith. And your faith must be grounded in the truth that God has revealed. So you must know the truth. So that's where there are a lot of assurances that preachers have given, books have been written, that leads many Christians astray. Think, and also you pray hard, you believe in it, you will get it. And Christians can become very disillusioned, led astray, because it's not grounded in the truth. So this is very important. But once it's grounded in the truth, do not allow the evil to shake your faith. It will work. So that is the part that is critical. Make sure you have a proper basis for exercising faith, and that requires a good grasp of the truth. That's why posture of God and truth. The truth part extremely important, because God is the God of truth. Christ the way, the truth and the life. They go together. You want to live this kind of overcoming life, it must go together with truth. It must go together with the life of the Lord. They all go together. So what has been considered in all these messages on the posture is meant to help you to have a good grasp of the truth in relation to the various issues involved, so then you can have a proper basis to exercise your faith. You may say you want to trust God, but how are you going to trust God if your understanding of the faith is very limited? Then you do not have a proper basis. But once you have a good grasp of the truth and you align your heart with it, you have a proper basis for exercising faith, and you can do so with conviction. So remember, very important, proper basis for exercising faith. Then, however difficult the circumstances, however perplexing, however contrary outward appearance may appear to be, realize and affirm that it is possible for you to fare well as you continue to walk with God in truth and in faith. But you must exercise faith in God. The triumphant life is not automatic. Remember just now, we said God always leads us in triumph in Christ. We need to continue to abide in Christ. Together with Him, we overcome. So it is always feasible to fare well as we walk with God in truth, in faith. God will then lead us, always lead us in triumph in Christ, and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Always lead us in triumph and in every place. So this is in the scriptures. We can affirm our confidence that this is feasible. because God has assured us in the scriptures. So as you continue to maintain the posture of God in truth, affirm your faith in God, the truth that God has revealed in the scriptures, that is the basis of our confidence, our conviction. So very important, we can have this assurance. There's a proper basis for confidence as we face the future, as we face the issues that confront us. We can be assured, we can live our lives meaningfully and effectively in the way we've been talking about, what scriptures has revealed. Not by placing confidence in our diligence, in our discipline, in the efforts we put in, but our confidence, our assurance rests on the reality of the existence of the sovereign, perfect, unchanging and faithful God, and the assurances he has given us in the scriptures, and what he seeks to bring about in our lives. We need to see all these things, who God is, what he's revealed, and that this is the will of God. He seeks to bring it about. So if we align our hearts with the truth and meaningfully trust God, and he has the freedom to work in us, through us, we actively cooperate with him, then it will come about. It's not just hopefully it will come about. So we must concentrate on cooperating with God and what he's seeking to bring about in our lives. Not we set certain goals, certain targets, and then we try very hard to work it out. No. We are setting our hearts to know the goals that God has set before us, which is what he himself is going to bring it about. This expression by the Apostle Paul, faithful is he who calls us, and he also will bring it to pass. Although there's a certain context there that talks about how God wants to bring about the development in our body, soul and spirit. But the principle there applies. That principle. That all these various aspects that God reveals in the scriptures that he wants to bring about, he is faithful. He will bring it about in and through our lives if we actively choose to cooperate with him. Set our hearts to know him, know his will, his desires, the truths involved, and cooperate with him. We need to know the truth, then we can properly cooperate with him. Otherwise, we can be easily deceived, and we can be seeking to work at our own thing, and yet saying that we are working out our faith, or errors that creeps in, they can come in many different forms, but the ultimate source is the evil one, and then our lives become very distorted. So finally, the sixth point. When we live in this way, we can be assured our lives will continually move in the direction of the optimum. The optimum means the best possible. You'll continually move in that direction if we live in this way. If you maintain this posture, this approach and perspective, then you can properly have a deep sense of assurance of well-being, and that you will continually move towards the optimum, which is the best and most effective way to live your life. I say you continually move towards optimum, but you'll never reach to a point where you say, I cannot go further. No. But the optimum is to live the way Christ lived, but beginning with the insight. Conform to the image of Christ, his character, not just the moral, but also the spiritual dimension. Not only dealing with all the negative, but also nurturing all the positive. We will move in that direction. But not all will progress at the same rate. It depends on how deep is your spiritual insight and how deeply you respond to what you've come to understand. So bear in mind, you need not be unsettled, frustrated by anything. You need not. no matter what situation you go through. But you need not does not mean you will not. So bear in mind the distinction. I say you need not, but it does not mean you will not. So many Christians can still feel frustrated and so on and so on. But you need not. And you does not mean you will not. That also doesn't mean if you are going on meaningfully, you cannot at any time experience anxiety, worry. You can. Even if you are living quite meaningfully, these things can still come, but you need not remain in that state of frustration or anxiety. There is a way you can resolve it meaningfully. As you reaffirm the posture, as you exercise faith in the truth revealed in the scriptures. And there are various areas of truth revealed in scriptures. They are especially powerful to counter the specific areas of spiritual attack. So as we grow in understanding the truth more and more, we know how to counter. So every area of attack and every area that's no good that comes into our lives, it can be overcome, it can be countered. But that is only in the Lord and in the truth. So that's where we have to come back to the importance of the reality of aligning our heart with the truth of the posture of God and truth. So this is a very meaningful way to live our lives. It's a life that God intends for each one of us. Let us set our hearts to seek the Lord, that He may grant us spiritual insight, as well as help us to know to align our heart with the truth, and not that stop at that, but continue to seek, to deepen it. And that way continue to learn and grow in our knowledge of the Lord, our relationship with Him, the truth that He reveals to us, not in the scriptures, but also how He guides us, speaks to us in our daily lives. It is a very enriching life. And that is the way we can properly, meaningfully fulfill the part He desires of us in the body of Christ, in our working of an expression of body life, and also how we can fulfill our part in the big picture of the fulfillment of His purposes. At a personal level, and if all of us are working at it like that, it will be very powerful in a way as an expression of body life in the local context. We fulfill the part that God desires of us in our working of His purposes. There is tremendous potential because God is a very great and powerful God. And He wants to express all the beauty and power and meaning that flows forth directly from His being. God is still waiting for those who are available, who will set their hearts on Him, on the truth, where He can have the kind of freedom to reveal, to teach, to speak, and to work in and through. Men and women created the image of God. And every single individual who lives like that, God can accomplish a lot. And how much more so when there's a body of believers who are prepared to live like that. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about God accomplishing His eternal purpose in Christ, and linked to the manifestation of God's wisdom through the church. How is that going to come about? How much do we see of that? There's a lot yet to be seen of the beauty and the power of the manifestation of God, His being and His wisdom. May the Lord help us to move in that direction. Let's now spend some time to prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Do we really have spiritual insight into the posture of God in truth? Have we truly aligned our heart with the posture in a meaningful way? Are we able to live each day properly, living life with deep conviction and confidence that it is feasible, whatever we go through, to have a deep abiding experience of God's love and joy and peace, and the assurance that we will bear good fruit that lasts, that our lives will be successful, not the worldly success that the world talks about, but what the scriptures talks about. The words of the Lord to Joshua of how he can be truly successful. Do we realize we can live each day with a deep sense of confidence of God's blessings upon our lives, and the proper basis for that confidence and conviction? Let's pray the Lord will grant us spiritual insight into what he has revealed in the scriptures, the kind of life he intends for each one of us, and how we need to respond to him and to the truth that he has revealed, so that we can indeed live out such a life, and not to deceive ourselves into thinking that all is fine, when in fact the realities in our hearts are still so far short of even a reasonable degree of meaning in our walk with God. There are significant aspects that God is speaking to us, and yet we are not hearing. As we prepare ourselves to partake Lord's Supper, let's look to the Lord that he will have the freedom to speak to us, to point out to us how we need to respond to him, so that even as we properly align our hearts with the heart of God, with the truth that he's revealed, we can then also partake the Lord's Supper together in a very enriching manner. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your intentions for us in him. Thank you for your grace, your goodness toward each one of us. We know it's your desire to always lead us in triumph in Christ, and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place, to live a triumphant, overcoming life in him, together with the transformation of our hearts and lives, to always abide in him and he in us. We pray that you help us to know how we can enter into and live such a life in increasing richness of meaning, that more and more we may be able to declare with conviction and reality, together with Apostle Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, and it is no longer I, but Christ lives in me." Thank you that we can live each day in fellowship with you, to constantly experience in the depth of our hearts your presence, your love, your joy, your peace. Whatever the situations we go through, whatever the trials, the works of the evil one, and to be able, each one personally and also together, an expression of church life, to fulfill the part you desire of us in the advancement of your kingdom. Help us to know how we can truly enter into this life you desire of us. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you prepare our hearts, that we will not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So even now we pray that you will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, remove whatever is displeasing in our hearts, whatever is displeasing in your sight, and help us to be deeply resolved to live a life pleasing to you, faithful to you. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.